Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this new day. It's another chance that we have to try and get it right. So Lord, help us in this day to be present in the moment, to be aware of you, to look not so much for our own needs, but rather to listen to your Son. So Father, help us to open our hearts a little bit more today, and in that process, be transformed from a little bit less of what we are right now into a little bit more of what we ought to be. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, there's a lot of times that I love to read quotes, and probably one of my favorite quotes is from a very incredibly well-known theologian. That theologian's name is Jimmy Buffett, and Jimmy Buffett once said this. He said, "Life is much more manageable when you look at it as a scavenger hunt rather than a surprise party." Did you ever think about that? I mean, how do you look at life? I had a conversation with my friend Tommy, who filled in with me the other day, a couple weeks back, and he came to the conclusion that, you know, there's kind of like two groups of people. Nobody fits in any one group all the time, but there are people who much more look at life as a destination. And then there's other folks who look at life as a journey. Do you look at life more as a destination or more of a journey most of the time? Which way do you fit? How do you fit in? I'll be up front with you. You know, I like things like getting them done. Let's get this behind me. Let's move on. Let's arrive. Let's get it done. I mean, I think a lot of my life, I've looked at life as a destination. How can I accomplish this? How can I get it, you know, fixed? How can I get things moving on? And yet I wonder how much life I've missed in that process. Because life is measured not in the things that you get done, but rather in the moments that you spend present in that journey. You know, I was reminded of that as I looked at the Old Testament reading. The Old Testament lesson today is the story of actually two prophets. The end of one prophet's time on earth, Elijah, and the beginning of another prophet's life, Elisha, on his time on earth. Elijah was the mentor for Elisha. And it tells us that it's time for Elijah, the great prophet who slew Ahab and took care of Baal and the whole nine yards, and it's time for him to be taken away from this earth. Now, he's not going to experience death, according to the scripture. He's going to be taken up in a whirlwind, and he knows that the time is getting near. He says to his protege, Elisha, he said, "Stay here, because I've got to go to Bethel." What is Elisha says? No. As long as the Lord lives and as long as you live, I will not leave you. Follows him. When he gets there, he gets to Bethel, and the prophets of Bethel, there's 50 prophets at each place, and the 50 prophets come up, and they say to him, they say, "You know, your master's going to be taken away from you today." And he says, "Yes, I know. Be silent." All of a sudden, Elijah comes to Elisha again and says, I've got to go on to Bethel now. And he says, "You know, you stay here." He says the same thing as he said before. "You know, as long as the Lord lives and as long as I live, I'll stay with you. I'm not leaving you, you know." And he goes. 50 prophets come up to him there, say the exact same thing, and he says, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then all of a sudden he comes to the Jordan, because that's where he's got to go the next time. The same thing takes place. Elijah says to Elisha, "You know, you stay here." And Elisha says, "No, I'm not doing that, because I'm staying with you." They get to the Jordan, and 50 prophets come and say, "You know, your master's going to be taken." He goes, "Yes, I know. Be silent." And all of a sudden, then Elijah takes off his mantle, and he takes it out, and just as Moses did to the Red Sea, he does to the River Jordan. He hits the water. The waters part right to left and left to right, and they walk across. They get on the other side, and as they're walking down on the other side of the Jordan, all of a sudden, Elijah, the older prophet who's going to be taken up, says to Elisha, "What can I do for you?" And Elisha says to him, I want a double portion of your spirit. Elijah immediately responds and says, you know, that's not for me to do. That's a hard thing. You know, I don't know if I can do that. But I'll tell you this. If you see me taken up, it'll be granted to you. Well, all of a sudden, they're walking along, and all of a sudden, the chariots, the fiery chariots of Israel come with horsemen. And they come swooping by, and Elijah's swept up. And, you know, Elijah's, I guess, running along behind him, Elisha, and he's yelling, you know, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen. And all of a sudden, he's taken off. And at that moment, what does Elisha do? Elijah, his mentor, is gone. He takes off his mantle, tears it in two. And that's where our scriptures end for the day. What's that process they're in? Well, the last process is clear. Whenever you took off your mantle and you tore it in two, he was in the process of grieving. Grieving the loss of his master. But what was going on in this? I think it was the journey. You know, the real secret to this scripture to me is where every time Elijah says to Elisha, he says, you stay here. He says, no, as long as the Lord lives, as long as you live, I'm going with you. I'm not going to. Until you leave me, I'm not leaving you. I'm committed to you. I'm going to see the course through. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to stick on to it. I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to live the life the way I want to do. Now, is Elisha living from a destination perspective, or is he living from a journey perspective? I got to believe he's living from a journey perspective. What is he doing? He's saying, no, I got to follow through every bit of it. To tell you the truth, he was a protege of Elijah. If Elijah had said, stay here, and Elisha had done it, he would have still been the prophet. But he wouldn't have experienced everything he would have experienced. He wouldn't have known what he didn't know. He wouldn't have received the double portion of spirit. He might have gotten a single portion, but he wouldn't have gotten a double portion of spirit. Every time he goes and he sees the 50 prophets, what happened? They all tell him, look, he's going to take off. Why don't you just stick and hang out with us? And every time he says, no, be silent. In other words, I'm not going to listen to the voices of the crowd. I'm going to listen to what the voice of my heart says. I'm going to go on through this. I'm going to stay on the journey. And all of a sudden, then, here he is. And his mentor is swept up into heaven. Swept up into heaven. And he goes into the process of grief. And he goes and he grieves his master being gone. He's got to do it. He's got to go every step of the way. Have you ever been in process but tried to avoid it? You know? I mean, you had a loss. It might have been a divorce. And you went through a divorce and you said to yourself, you know, that's over. I better just move on. Let me go see if I can find somebody else. You know, usually when that happens, to tell you the truth, you make the same mistakes as you made the first time. How many times have you done it with death where all of a sudden you said, you know, I'm strong. I'm a man. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to go through this. Well, it happened. I better just move on. But you never really get that stuff over. And I'll tell you what, I did that for 25 years when my father died. When I was 16, my dad died. For 25 years, I kind of remembered him as dead, but I didn't let him be alive. I never moved beyond that point. I used that point as an event in my life rather than an experience in my life. And when you use things as events in your life rather than experiences in your life, all of a sudden, you bypass the journey and you go right to the destination. You think, in a sense, your whole life is just from point A to point B and all that stuff in the middle doesn't really count. You set aside process. And when you set aside process, you miss the essence of life. Because what happens to the essence of life? The process. It's where you really get to know the people that are around you and you really get to know yourself. You see, I believe a lot of us are afraid to get to know ourselves. We're afraid of some of those things, those events that showed where we didn't live up to things. You know, process doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake. But you live, in a sense, listening to the voice of your heart, and you move on beyond it. I mean, how many people do you know that live in one event of their life in the past? It may have been an experience they had in high school, or it might have been an experience they had in the military. They may have had an experience when they went to war, and all of a sudden they can't get over it, and they never move beyond it. They miss the rest of their life staying there. How many times have you ever held a grudge, a resentment? You know what? What happens when you hold a resentment is you don't really give any power over that other person, but you give a whole lot of power over yourself because you're holding on to a resentment saying, by God, I'm not going to let go of this one. And you stay frozen in that moment. There's a part of you that never matures beyond that point. There's a part of you that stays right there instead of having God's hands come in and mold and shape you and continue to move. Because the truth of the matter is we're totally in a process of change every step of our way. I mean, even as you sit here, you're in change. Your body's cells are dying and then other ones are being reborn again. Please don't leave your cells here on the chairs afterwards. It's a lot of cleanup to do. But the truth of the matter is all of our life is process. You went through more processes this morning than you could possibly imagine. You started the process of making coffee. At that same time, you probably had the process of reading the paper. At the same time, you might have started your process of writing your list for Publix, or you might be doing it right now. Some of you are planning to go to the races this morning. How many of you are already thinking about the parking space you're going to have to get? I mean, we're always ahead of ourselves, it seems like, and yet we're always behind of ourselves. And yet what God says more than anything else is stay in the moment, live with me in the moment, be with me, follow it through, go through the things that are difficult, because it's in the struggle of life that actually you become who you are. Anybody who says, I'm going to avoid any struggle in their life, to tell you the truth, never matures. Anybody who avoids the hard times of their life and only says, well, I'm only going to opt for the good stuff, I'll be up front with you, they never allow God in to mold and shape you, because it's in the hard times of life that actually you get molded and shaped. You learn a lot more in the dark than you do in the light. And that's where God really can work. But how many of us want the destination? I just want to get it over with. Let's just get through this. I'll be up front with you. You know, with this thing, I really don't want to do this anymore. You know? And I don't think I really need to do this anymore. You know? But you know what? There's two people who are telling me I need to do this now. One is my surgeon, and the other one's my wife. And so guess what? I'm doing this now. I'm skating on it. I already broke the thing. You know? Thank you, Jim. My makeup might fall out of there. Thanks. We'll deal with it this way. But you hear what I'm saying? I mean, that's where we move. And in this sense, what Jesus was meaning when he says, you know, if you want to gain your life, you got to lose it. But if you lose your life for the sake of me and the gospel, you're going to gain it. It's letting go of who you are, letting go of the ego that you have, letting go of the destinations and the events that say, this is what makes up me. And how many of us have our identity wrapped up in, this is what makes up me? I did this. This is the accomplishments I made. This is what it, think about the conversations you have when you meet somebody new. What do you usually jump on? I don't know about you. I never jump on my failures. I always jump on, well, this is me. This is what I do to succeed. And when I do that, when I move into destination, to tell you the truth, that's when I'm most living in fear and living in most worry. But when I move into journey, that's when all of a sudden I'm at peace and in trust. And I find that when I'm in peace and in trust, there's something mysterious that takes place, because all of a sudden, my worth isn't dependent upon what I do. My worth is dependent upon the Father that I have, that worth that He gave me. My sense of belongingness all of a sudden becomes alive. I belong right where I am. I belong to you guys. And you belong to me. I didn't have to join it. We just belong. Part of the human race. And isn't it wonderful? Although some of those people drive me crazy. But in the midst of it, my worth, my sense of belonging, all the things that are rich and deep, the sense of trust, that sense of peace, they become alive in me. And it's because all of a sudden, I'm not looking to get to the next point so fast that I miss all the points in between. Do you ever realize that when you go from one destination to the destination, one destination to the next destination, you miss all the little destinations that are in the middle? And all those little destinations are the ones that probably teach you the most. You have a destination you're coming to, in a sense, today, but I hope you don't treat it like that. It's called the Holy Communion. You're coming home, home as you come to the altar. You're coming home, sort of be with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you know who else? All those who have gone on ahead of you. My dad will be here. If your dad's gone on before, he's going to be here. Your husband might be here. Your wife might be here. All those people that you've lost, those children that are no longer with you. You won't lose anybody, because as you come here, all of a sudden there's that sense of belongingness in the Holy Eucharist that says, we're all having a meal together. We're all going to be together. And I trust in it. But you only do that if you move into the sense of journey, into the sense that God is at work molding and shaping you every step of the way, transforming you, so that you can be in the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, come. When you walk down this aisle, be on the journey. As I come and minister to you on this altar, I'm going to be on a journey. And our journeys will cross paths. And in those paths crossing, the presence of God will be present. Be alive. Remember one thing. That great theologian, Jimmy Buffett. Life is much more manageable when you look at it as a scavenger hunt rather than a surprise party. It's in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand with me.